Welcome to 20 Minute Tabletop, a podcast about board, card, miniature gaming. Today you'll be listening to just me, Tom, talking about a brand new game that is currently available on Kickstarter. The reason for this is because it's a game that kind of piqued my interest a little bit based on the quality of the designers that are working on the game. It's a game that's cooperative, but more than this, it's because a friend of mine said to me, "I've been listening to the podcast you're doing with Kev, and I've been enjoying it. But let's be honest, I'd never come to you two for contemporary games news." So, as you're listening to this, hopefully I'll be able to provide you all with information about a game you might not have heard of. And that game is Horror on the Orient Express. And despite me saying that this is a contemporary game, it's worth noting that Horror on the Orient Express was originally published by Chaosium, or Chaosium, that makes more sense really, doesn't it, than Chaosium, in 1991 as a horror role-playing game based on the Lovecraftian universe. And if you don't know what Lovecraft is, or H.P. Lovecraft is, then more the Cthulhu. You see what I did there? I'm sorry, it's not a good joke. Anyway, this 1991 RPG box set campaign game was about player characters using the Orient Express to search for pieces of an artifact while a cult tries to stop them. It was quite successful in 1991, getting a few awards, and it even was republished, I believe, and an expanded edition was republished in about 2014. It's not a game I've played. I haven't played that many tabletop RPGs. But this one I'm talking about today is actually a board game adaptation of that tabletop RPG. So it's a game that is an adaptation of a game, which in turn probably took some inspiration from Murder on the Orient Express by Agatha Christie, although I imagine the references to Poirot are quite limited in the board game adaptation. So as I mentioned, this game is something that really caught my interest based on the designers. The game's authors also worked on board game Nemesis, Frostpunk, and Destinies. So these are big designers working on the Horror of the Orient Express. So what you have to do in this cooperative game is you and some other investigators are trying to manage to survive on a train that is doomed. What you have to do is hunt out some cultists and try to stop them from performing hideous rituals and ensure the train reaches its destination. You get to play as an investigator, very Arkham Horror style. The investigators look really cool. I'll talk about those a little bit later. Quite thematic, quite interesting. And as you play through the game, you control the character, you can get new skills, you can gather items. Part of the main part of the game is to be talking to the passengers on the train. And I must say they have really gone to town with the design of this train. It's a big 3D train with carriages. And the little cubes, little die-style cubes that represent the passengers on this train. And you're trying to discover clues as you go along and ultimately try to work out the train's fate. So it looks really good. One of the things that I liked about the Kickstarter, and I've only ever backed one Kickstarter before, was the fact that it is promising that you're going to get the game at a discounted price. So previously, some games on Kickstarter have actually come out, and then the retail copy of it, of course, has actually ended up a little bit cheaper. I mean, you do get the old classic Kickstarter things like, you're going to get an exclusive promo train mini. And had I not started painting my little bits of plastic recently, after the encouragement of Kev, then I really wouldn't care about that. But I have got a little spray can of black spray paint now that I'm itching to use again. I loved going in the garden with my washing up gloves on and spray painting things black and then doing some amateur dry brushing on the top, which is about as far as I've ever got. So, what happens in this game is you will be moving through these really cool train cars. They are 3D. They've got openable curtains. Basically, there are some curtains there that you want to open or close because one of the things that you're going to have to deal with on this train is a vampire. And obviously if you've got curtains open, that weakens the vampire in the early stages of the game. Now the thing about this vampire is that it's ever present on the train. It's always there and it preys on the weaker passengers. And should this vampire ever really attack a wounded person, then that person can say goodbye to that character. It's gone. And the more the vampire kills thematically, this really works, the stronger it becomes. And that's why it's important that players might take a moment to open the carriage curtains, as, well, you know vampires, don't you? The sunlight basically reduces the bloodsucker's abilities at that stage of the game. But later on in the game, the vampire gets so powerful that it doesn't make that much difference. You've also got to think quite carefully about the train's speed, because if the train ever slows down to a halt, then you lose the game. It's a game that seems to have about 54 different lose conditions. Now, there are four investigators that you can play as. There is one called Bucky Burton. I mean, that's good, isn't it? That's a good proper northern name, that. Bucky Burton. Bucky Burton. And he's a retired gunslinger. Or you can play as Lucy Lincoln, and she's a committed preacher. Or you can play as your millionaire boy, Cedric Campton, who is obviously the kind of wealthy elite on that train. Or if you want to, you can play as Katharina Christoph, who's a chemistry professor. The game does come with an expansion, though, and you can get several more investigators if you wish to play as during the game. But I really like the look of these, and obviously you get these little minis with these characters as well, because they're going to be physically walking through the train. And to be fair, they look really good. You know, I've never really been a mini guy, but when I bought Rising Sun, a light switch went on for me, and now I'm really thinking about, when I see these little minis now, there is a temptation with these games. I'm starting to totally get why people are starting to back Kickstarter games like this for, well, the quality of the productions, really. You also get some suspect minis in the game. You get a medium, you get a psychologist, a chef, a crime book writer, and there's loads of lovely components. And yes, I didn't mention it before, but it's also a game where you get to dip your hand into a bag and be able to pull out things. So it's a game that I'm going to struggle not to back myself, I think, on that basis. It does come with some monster minis, all of which have names that sound like verbs. One of the monsters is called an absorber, who clearly absorbs. You've got a howler, who howls, and a reaver, that reaves. As well as that, there's the vampire that I mentioned, and that comes with another vampire mini as well. So, I know nothing about the gameplay, which is obviously reassuring for you, given the fact you're listening to me. But what I do understand is it's rather simple, in the fact that you have your turn, and then the forces of evil and the dangers around you also have their turn. So there's an event board, and if it ever gets filled up with event tokens, then those events happen. And what you're trying to do in the carriage is try to make sure that the chaos and panic don't spread too much through the train. And it's your job to try to keep everybody safe and calm, because if you get your passengers into a horrified state, then they are going to cause real issues for you, and you need to monitor their emotional states and control that. It's a bit like, you know, thinking, oh God, Steve over there in the corner, seeing a vampire and he's feeling a bit stressed. Let's go and have a chat with him, see if we can sort him out. But then you got Sue over there in the carriage, worried. She's only worried at the minute. And they can die, these passengers, and there are little coffin minis that you can just pop over where they would be, and that would signify their death. And I think if too many people die, obviously, that's a game loss condition. The train itself is travelling down a track, and it's travelling through the landscapes of Dreamlands and discovers strange portals. And unfortunately, Arkham Horror style, essence is leaking out of these portals and nightmares are breaking through to reality. So another thing you've got to keep an eye on, as well as the passengers getting a bit stressed, is removing essence. The core of the game is working out who these cultists are and trying to find that information out, but you're managing stressed passengers and this essence coming through these portals as the train moves and speeds faster and faster. You want the train to go. You can make the train go faster and simply speed past these portals, but if the train's going faster, then you get less time to find the cultist. And obviously, if the train grinds to a halt, then you lose. So you've got to kind of balance the actual speed of the game as well as you're going through. So if you do back the Kickstarter, And I think you do still have time to do that, given the release date is coming towards the end. Like I say, I'm no way affiliated with the game. This is just me being stubborn and trying to prove that I can talk about a game that's contemporary. You will get the Investigators Unveiled expansion for free. I say for free loosely, because you've tanked a load of money into it. But that means you get 10 playable characters instead of 4. And what that means as well is you can freely change the team of suspects for each game. I think you can actually use the playable characters as the suspects, so different people can turn out to be cultists. Anyway, if you're interested in trying out the game before you commit, I do believe there's a version on Tabletop Simulator, which is a platform you can download on Steam. It basically allows you to trial out games via Steam. It's something I've tried once. I didn't sit well with me, really. I prefer to sit around a table when playing games. But yeah, if you want to try it, then crack on and have a look at Tabletop Simulator. One thing I do know about the game is that it's supposed to be incredibly hard to win. It's that proper Lovecraftian nightmare situation where you really do feel like you're battling against the hand of chaos the whole time. And apparently it will challenge really, really good gamers. And I suppose that is the pleasure in playing a game like this, is kind of crisis management. It's funny, isn't it, that people even like playing games with crisis management when their work is often crisis management. You know, the emails coming in and this needs to be done by then. And then you go home and play Pandemic. It's bizarre, really. But yeah, that's what this game is offering. It's offering really good, experienced players the chance to feel stretched and challenged whilst travelling through a train. Mind you, if you're a British listener, you'll know it's quite stressful getting the trains in this country anyway. And when you see pictures of it, it's clearly a game that is absolutely steeped in theme. And one of those games that has masses and masses of table presence. You know, the idea that there is a three-dimensional train that you can travel across with all these lovely passenger dice-style components as well. But I suppose one of the things that I've heard reviewers talking about is how joyous it is to push monsters out of the train, you know, to physically expel them out. You can't really defeat them, they'll keep on coming at you, but you can knock them out, which is really, really satisfying. But of course, unlike me, all of the reviews I have seen of this game have been paid promotion, which they have to be transparent about, which is good, really. So they've all been overwhelmingly positive, which of course they would be when somebody's being paid a lot of money in order to promote a product. So do you need to sink your money into this one? Well, I am not going to say either way. I've got no idea, really. I must be honest, I've been looking at it for 2 days and been quite intrigued in the fact that I really like the theming, the Lovecraftian theming, and I really like the look of the components. And I do like cooperative games as well. The question that I would ask myself is, how many co-op games do you really need? Obviously, there's Pandemic and latterly Pandemic Legacy, which really did a great job in that sphere. But it's not the only Cthulhu-linked co-op on the market. There's a game that came out a few years ago called Australia, spelt with a Z in the middle of it, which is a Martin Wallace game. And that was set in an alternate 1930s Australia, where players explore and colonise the continent after the Northern Hemisphere has been devastated by war and the Old Ones. And that game, again, features ancient cosmic entities, eldritch horrors, forbidden knowledge, and I would say it's more of a traditional board game where players are building railways and constructing ports, they're mining resources, they're farming for food. But then halfway through the game, a twist comes when the Old Ones awaken again, and these ancient beings become active players, revealing themselves and moving across the landscape, causing havoc, really. So you have to prepare wisely and cooperate to defeat them when they arrive. It's a good game, you know, it's a good game, and possibly a suitable alternative because it won't cost you the earth that this one will. And I mentioned Pandemic just before, and they did bring out what versions of Pandemic haven't they brought out now? I think there's more versions of Pandemic than there are spices in my spice cupboard. But they've got a Pandemic called Pandemic Reign of Cthulhu, which is, again, you know what Pandemic is. And it's like that, but with the Cthulhu flavour. So if you're a fan of Pandemic and want to mix it up with some old gods, then you can add that into the collection instead. I'm not being hot or cold. I'm not being like Katy Perry about this this horror on the Orient Express. It's just that, I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to put your money behind something unless that's not a finite resource for you when you haven't really experienced the game yourself. But saying that, it does look very, very interesting to me, and a game that I certainly would absolutely love to get on the table, given the beauty of the components and the miniatures that you get with the game. But I'll leave that up to you. Like I say, the Kickstarter's live, I believe. You can have a look at that if you want. And I'll round up now by just saying, once again, thanks so much for listening. And if you are a regular listener, please, please, please do that Spotify or Apple review. If you could take some time to write a few kind words, that would be really useful. It just means that we're more visible in the algorithms or whatnot. And more than that, if you could share with the odd friend, that would be ace. We are trying to grow the podcast. We're trying to provide something. And if people listen, that's pretty good for us at the minute. So thank you for being one of the people that have listened to this. And I'll leave you to go and hit that share button now. Thanks very much.